Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Back at your morning drive here, Nick, Braden, myself, Marquise on the ones and the twos in the back. Right now, Nick is having some technical difficulties with his microphone, but he's back now.
I think he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, I just got to get these damn headphones working.
Ready? Three, two, one.
Hit it.
Go ahead, Nick.
No, you got to go ahead until I get this figured out.
No, let's get back let's continue this discussion with Marcus because it's fascinating, because it's not just Marcus. And I know we've been talking a lot about just Marcus, but there's another guy in the equation, and the other
Roger
guy
is
Roger. Yeah, but it's Ryan Tannehill. So, but we got some.
Go ahead, drive the ship over
there,
buddy.
We got some callers on here.
I love it.
I want to say
Cedric.
Can you push the button?
Yeah, there we go.
Cedric, what's up,
you
man?
There? Cedric.
Yo, what,
yeah,
man,
there
what?
We go.
I pushed the wrong button. We got a first-year rookie over there running the board.
Absolutely. You're right about that. I pushed the wrong button. My fault, Cedric.
Oh, man. Hey, it's all good. Hey, Brayden, let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
who's
man.
The best quarterback in Ravens franchise history?
Ravens franchise history?
Yeah.
Is it
quarterback?
It's clearly Trent. No, Steve McNair, actually. I know Joe Flacco is the one who won a Super Bowl, and Trent Dilfer did too, but probably Kyle Bowler.
Well, I mean, if we keep saying that Marcus is the greatest, second greatest quarterback because he won a playoff game, wouldn't you say that about Trent Dilfer with the Ravens? I mean, come on, man, that argument is a terrible argument, man. Nobody cares that we won a playoff game. This is about
nobody
winning the Super
cares.
Bowl. No, we didn't win the Super Bowl, dude. This is a result.
I get your point. I mean, listen, it's about championships for me too. I understand your point, but. But going from 2-14 to winning a playoff game is not nothing, though.
No, it is nothing when we don't win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
These guys go out there and bust their tail to win the Super Bowl. Now, D-Mace, I think you said a mouthful today, man. And when you get a quarterback like Marcus Mariota, I agree with you, he had one good season. And these defensive coordinators go out there and they look at these guys and they take away their strengths. That's what Baker Mayfield's going through right now. Every quarterback in the NFL goes through it. And the truly great quarterbacks are able to overcome those deficiencies and go on to have great careers. I submit to you guys that these defensive coordinators have looked and they said Marcus Mariota only throws the ball to one spot in the field. And now that we're taking those things away, that's why he's struggling. That's why he's regressed. Ryan Tannehill is going to come in. And he's got to – yeah, I mean, he's going to throw the ball, I think, to the receivers a little bit more than Marcus does. I've never got the feeling that Mariota was really comfortable throwing the ball to receivers. And I think that Tannehill's probably going to throw a few more interceptions because he's going to be a little bit more aggressive. But, Derek, I would love to see you at 27 years old with Marcus Mariota last year, this year, not throwing you the ball as a wide receiver and how that would go over on the sideline. I would love to see that.
I tell you what, I wouldn't take
good call, by the way.
Thank you. I wouldn't take Corey Davis's approach, not saying anything.
You just kind of did say something.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying, I wouldn't take his approach. And every guy goes about their business differently, so it's no slight.
Well, you had the chip on your shoulder and you played with attitude. That's
I think when you
okay.
I think there's a difference. When you are drafted in a certain place, and you find it a lot, guys that are drafted late, I'm not going to say they're hungrier than the guys that were drafted early, but here's the thing: when the guys that were drafted late, when they get to that point where they're consistently starting, they don't want to go back to that other thing they were before then. So you know what? When they're not getting the ball, if things are not going their way, they are going to voice it because they understand that, listen, I don't want to go back to where I was. So I've worked this hard, and I've proven that I'm the guy. Get me the damn ball. And coaches can say what they want to say. They don't like it. But they would rather you say, get me the ball, if you are a guy that when you get the ball, you produced. I did it with Heimerdinger. I did it with Billick. I did it with John. Get me the damn ball. If you're not, get me the ball because I'm going to produce.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to have that. You have head coach has to look at it. Office coordinator has to look at it and say, you know what? He might be an ass, but he's right. If we give him the ball, he's going to catch it. Him the ball.
That's what I say to my bosses all the time.
but if you go back to what Cedric said about the playoff win, and we get it, the NFL is not linear. You just don't continually build and ascend each and every year.
It's not like a college program.
Right, but the reality is when you get a playoff win in year three, you're hoping that's the beginning of something special and you're going to go in a certain direction. They've gone in the opposite direction since. And if Marcus's career is over, well, 4.5 years as a starting quarterback and one playoff win when you're drafted number two overall, I think more people than not would say that's not good enough.
Hey, listen, Cedric's point about the great quarterbacks understand that defensive coordinators are going to scheme for their strengths and weaknesses, and they have to overcome that. I completely agree. No one on this show, including myself, has ever said anything about Marcus Mariota being great. This has never been a thing. What I've always said is that he's a good player. He's an average NFL quarterback, and when he's surrounded by good players like Trent Dilfer, he's shown us literally that he's capable of winning in the postseason. And that's all. And he was. I also think, what happened after that playoff win? We had a major soap opera coaching change. A major soap opera where a head coach stands at a podium and says, I'm not firing my coordinator, does this weird song and dance. Then the GM and the owner have to come out. And that whole thing was weird. That whole thing happened. You can also point to the broken leg. I think there should be a 30 for 30 on just the Miami Dolphins game from last year. Like, just that, the longest game in NFL history where you lose Delanie Walker for the season. Taylor Lewan is knocked the bleep out. And Marcus's arm is damaged, maybe permanently. Like, there's a 30 for 30 on that football game alone. And that was 17, what was that, like 22 games ago or whatever? So I just think it's not as simple as, like, he was a good quarterback who took this franchise from irrelevancy to the playoffs. Then something else happened, whether it's the offensive line regressed, whether it's he got worse, whether he didn't learn, whether it's a broken leg, whether it was the coaching change, whatever you want to put on there, it changed and now he's different. And to me, he looks broken, and I blame some of that on the organization. Some of that's on him. Some of that's on the organization. That's how I look at it.
737-1025, the number. Let's get to Peyton, who's next on Morning Drive. Peyton, you go ahead.
Hi, how's it doing, guys?
Hey.
I just want to say that I think the Titans have ruined Marcus Mariota. Like, it's not all of their fault, but the offensive line and nothing doing about it for years to come. Like, I just think it's so easy to point your finger at one guy and say, because the quarterback, and say, just because we're losing games right now, we're going to blame it all on Marcus. Like, I feel bad for the guy because everybody's putting their finger at him. And when everything's good, everybody loves Marcus. And when something goes bad, it's like, cut him down and get him out of Nashville. So if his Titans career is over, I hope he comes back to Nashville, and I'm a diehard Titans fan, but I hope he comes back to Nashville and just gives it to the Titans one time. I feel bad for him and the way that they are doing him right now.
That's an interesting take from a fan. You don't normally hear a fan say, I'd like to see my team get roasted.
Listen, man, this is a results-based business.
Don't worry. He'll replace Tom Brady when he retires and win a Super Bowl.
I don't feel sorry for Marcus.
It's going to happen.
I thought you said it was over.
Marcus will go somewhere else, and he will get an opportunity to start, or he'll be back up, and he will be making $13, $14, $15 million. I don't feel sorry for him. Not one bit. He had his opportunity, and he might get another one. But he had his opportunity to cement himself as the starting quarterback. So much so that the organization never truly brought in competition for him. Never From day one, he never had competition at that position. That's how much they gave him an opportunity. We're not going to bring anyone in for these 4 years to compete with you, seriously compete with you at that quarterback position. So they gave him opportunity after opportunity.
Well, but hold on. How many times does a team take a quarterback number two overall and bring in somebody to compete with him in the first couple of years?
I'm not even saying – let's not say compete. But they never brought in a serviceable backup. Never. That if Marcus was doing bad, that they could say, you know what, let's take him out for a game or two and let's put in this other guy and maybe it could be a spark plug. They've never done that. They've done it this past season with Ryan Tannehill, but before that, they wanted Marcus, and I've been saying this, they wanted Marcus to prove to them why he is the guy. They gave him every opportunity to prove to him why he is the guy, and he hadn't been able to do it. Now, it's not all his fault, I get it. But at that position, you gotta at least, and that's the one, again, I keep on telling, that's the one position that a GM and a head coach every day, every game, need not worry about. And that's the position they were worried about. And if I got to worry about the quarterback position, we have a huge problem. I can worry about the offensive line. I can fire the offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. I can fire the offensive coordinator. I can worry about the receivers, yada, yada, yada. But the one guy I want to walk into the building and know that no matter what, he will be there to play. He's going to do his job the right way. That one guy needed to be the quarterback. And I can't say for certain that was the coach's idea when he walked into each and every game the last year and seven games. That everybody else might be wishy-washy, but that quarterback right there, that's my guy. I know he's going to play. It hadn't been that way.
Yeah, definitely not this season, but that's why they brought in Tannehill. I agree with that part of it. I don't think at any point last year, though, did they ever think that this is not our guy. Like, they still were a game away from making the playoffs. And when did the fans actually turn on Marcus? When he didn't play in week 17 last year. So it wasn't like when they were 9-6 and he had gone through 47 cracked vertebrae and spleens ruptured and nerve damage in the arm and plantar fasciitis, all this stuff, and he still was out there winning football games for your team. I'm with you, Derek. He never took the job. He never cemented the job as his own. Again, I think he's broken right now. I all that stuff. I agree with you. But there wasn't a moment, like to your point, Nick, about you don't bring in competition for a guy because you just drafted him. Again, the first, second, and third years, at the end of the third season, everyone was still in love with the guy. And most of last year, people were still going, man, the offense is struggling, but you know what? We're still winning, and we're still a game out of the playoffs. And as long as we beat the Colts, we love Marcus. We love everybody. We're going to make the playoffs. And then Marcus can't play, and everyone loses their minds because they didn't know how hurt he really was. And now he's clearly broken. His fault. His fault, the offensive line's fault, the coaching staff's fault. He has not cemented the job exactly like you have said, Derek. He's not taken the job. The coaching staff is worried about it. That's why he's benched. All of that's true. But it wasn't true in years 1, 2, and 3 and most of last year. It just it factually wasn't true. And now it is. And now Ryan Tannehill's starting.
615-737-1025, the number. Derek Mason, head coach of Vanderbilt at 7:30. We'll come back and get more of your calls on the Titans, Tannehill, and Mariota after this. But right now, our own very Derek Mason.
Yeah, if you don't want to be broken, man, because I know some of you men are, you wake up in the morning and you're just humbugging it, and you're tired and lethargic, and it's the same old rigmarole, time to make the donuts. Well, listen. And I've been telling you this for over a year now by my good friends over at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that wonderful and experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of the Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, which I'm in, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system, energy level, cognitive functions, and more. I told you, man, when you're broken and your energy levels are low, then you know you need to go see my good friends at Cool Springs MD because they will get your energy levels back up high. That's why I walk in here every day and my energy levels are on fleek. You know what I'm saying? They are on high 100, because I chose to go to Cool Springs MD. Men, help your family, help the wife by helping yourself. And this is how you do it. Because, listen, they will connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And this is how you do it. And there's no better time. Now, men, put this in your cell phone, okay? Because you need to make this appointment. You need to make it today, like right now, because Halloween is right around the corner. I don't know what that means, but it is. But here's the number to make that appointment. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Or visit the website. Here it is, man. Write it down. CoolSpringsMD.com.
721. Welcome back into Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason from Vanderbilt at the bottom of the hour. And then also you will hear from Juice Stillman coming up at 745. Details coming up in just a little bit. Let's get your Titans calls. A lot of people want to weigh in, obviously, on Mario to Tannehill. The big story coming down last night, officially Ryan Tannehill announced as the starting quarterback. That coming out from Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network.
Let's go to – I'm becoming a pro
yes,
now.
I love
let's
you
go
like
to
this.
Robert.
Remember, hit the button on the left
yeah,
side. There, you go.
The there we go. Robert, what's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on the Marcus conversation. It's just, I listen to you guys every day, and I enjoy the show, I must
say. Well, thank
say.
You. Thank you. We appreciate it.
I have
it.
To, I'm going to take Brady's side on this. I just think this fan base here, we sit back, and I listen to you guys. I'm a 49er and Pittsburgh ride or die fan. I'm a faithful fan.
Also a relative of Brady's. We got it. Go ahead.
I'm just,
oh, that's what it takes to agree with me, huh?
Oh
actually, you haven't met my family.
I'm just simply saying, you know, I've been a fan of the Niners since the John Brody days. I go way back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we sit here and we forget how bad this team was. I've been in this town since 2012. And when I got here, I saw three win season. They were terrible. And what John Robinson has come and done with this team, it's just, it's incredible. And it's like the fans here want instant gratification, and that is not going to happen. Everything on the offensive side of this ball, it's, if you look at the team, they're all new players. There's no old dogs on this team that can teach or even just help to give advice to some of these younger players. At all. Like you always say, that, you know, there's a use for some of the older players who can help bring along some of these younger players. And there's none of that here. There is absolutely, there's not one receiver on that team that you can point to and say, well, we can lean on them for any type of advice. Am I right?
No, you have a point
but,
there,
but the, but
Robert.
This team has plenty of veterans. Delanie Walker, Luan, Casey.
Been around long enough, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this team's got veteran players.
They are. I mean, listen, if the core of your offense moving forward, though, playmaker standpoint, mm-hmm. right, is Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, those are fairly young players. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the point you've been making, Derek. I want to ask you guys something real quickly, though. And Nick, you know, you haven't been here as long, but it's almost like they were a victim of their own success because they were so bad for so long. And then you draft a quarterback and you hire a GM sort of in back-to-back years. You fire Ken Wisenhunt. You have the largest improvement in franchise history. You go from 2 to 9 wins. The very next year you get into the playoffs and you make it to the divisional round for the first time in a decade. It's almost like that rapid ascension into relevancy, it's like they couldn't handle it. And fans were like, no, now we need the next thing. And it's just not that easy. And I don't know. You have that growth and that rapid sort of move into relevancy. And what do we always say about this town? This town likes a great party. And as long as the party's great, they'll be there. But then as soon as the party gets a little slow, they're checking their phone and they're looking for the next party. And that's the way this town has always been, whether it's the Titans or Vandy or whoever. And it's almost like, all right, we rode the ride until we got to the Chiefs win, and then as a city, we didn't get the next phase of the party. It slowed down, so now we're done with it.
I would also push back on the last caller's point about John Robinson's done an incredible job. I think John Robinson's done an okay job. I think he took a team that was a dumpster fire and made it at least respectable. 3 straight 9-7 seasons, you know, that's commendable.
He's done a pretty good job.
But I think, he, you know, just to compare him to Floyd Reese, I think he pales in comparison to Floyd.
I mean,
very different.
Floyd was here longer. He knew the organization. you know,
you could keep players under contract for longer, yeah, right?
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of things that are different now. Here's where, and I could be totally off base with this, but here's where I think this all started to kind of, you know, go left. And it has nothing to do with Mike Vrabel, because Mike Vrabel was just the guy that wanted a head coaching job, and he got it. I think the moment that it was this back and forth with Malarkey, I think that's where it sort of kind of started. You fire, for whatever reason, I mean, you fire a head coach that got you to a playoffs. And then what you do is you hire another guy, which I think Vrabel, you know, he needs some time. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, say he's a bad coach after this season, no matter what happened, because, you know, he's in this thing 2 years, and maybe you need another year after that because he's steady learning. But here lies the problem. When they decided to go with Vrabel, they decided to hire a guy at offensive coordinator that they knew wasn't going to be here nothing but 2 years. I even said when they hired him, I said, he's going to be here a year. That is it, a year.
I think I pushed back on that. You can't hire a lesser guy in fear of the good guy leaving.
Exactly. But right? You're right. You're absolutely right. But
that's what's weird about it.
Because you even said they should have hired Marty Morningwick. Or they should have went and tried to really push for Roman with the Baltimore Ravens.
And that's why Baltimore elevated him, right?
Here's the thing. Yeah, that's why Baltimore. And that was probably the right move for Baltimore. But here's the thing. When you're hiring at the position, I get what you're saying. You can't be in fear of the next guy. But there were a lot of other good candidates out there that would have stayed here longer with Marcus and helped develop him even more. I always said that LaFleur was looking for a head coaching job.
We knew he was going to
be coaching based upon him getting a head coaching job. And maybe, just maybe, the development of Marcus didn't come. Was the lack of development with Marcus was sort of like the what do you call it? Collateral damage, so to speak. It was like the byproduct of him, you know, him knowing he was going to be a head coach somewhere else. I think that might have, the firing of Malarkey and then that could, you can kind of tie all of that in with it, man.
It is one of.
And I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right. But I would add to it the broken leg. I would add to it, you know, the Miami game. Like, you put it all together, and you have one of the more fascinating 4-year runs by any quarterback anywhere. Like, it's just, it's hard to understand it. And I think the organization carries a lot of blame. I think the quarterback certainly carries some blame. I think the coaching staff carries blame. The offensive line, like, you go around the room, and that's why this whole thing, like, Marcus Mariota's career in Nashville, Tennessee, is like going to be, I feel like it's going to be studied by like NFL experts for years to come, because it's such a bizarre case study in so many different things. Because you guys are both right. If Matt LaFleur, which I think right now we are learning that Matt LaFleur was probably a better coordinator than people realized, But if he's the best guy, you sort of have to hire the best guy. But if he's going to leave early, you have to sort of know, do that with eyes wide open, right? And know that he's going to leave early. I don't know what the answer is to that question, right? Like, if I'm sitting in a room and you're telling me this guy's the best guy for the job, well, but you might have to replace him, which is sort of the new thing in offensive coordinator. You kind of have to replace NFL coordinators now all the time, mm-hmm. college too. It's just revolving doors for offensive coordinators now. I don't know. I agree that it may have slowed the growth, but I also think he might have been the right choice. So it's like, you know, it's like everybody's right in this, and it's just so weird. The whole thing is so weird.
All right, we will get back to the Tannehill Titans Mariota conversation in a little bit. But coming up next, our weekly chat with Vanderbilt head coach Derek Mason. And you talk about, you know, teams in turmoil, teams in trouble. The Titans have their issues. Vandy certainly has theirs. We'll talk to the head coach next on Morning Drive.
So I'm going to talk to you now, though, even though I was totally unprepared for that. So we're going to talk about Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, guys. And that's because, listen, unlike me right now, just now on the show, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling is prepared. They are ready to go when your house has an emergency. And we know that's generally in the wintertime when the weather's super cold and the pipes are freezing and all that good stuff. And then, of course, during the summertime and the AC's running overtime. Well, we're entering that period of the year in the fall where we get like 4 weeks of good weather. And that's when you need to get your house checked up. Join the Comfort Club. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling will give you two checkups a year during off seasons, right? So fall and spring, when your house is not working overtime, that way they can get a really good, thorough diagnostic look at how your house is working. And when they do that, they can maximize your efficiency, which saves you money on your electrical bills today, but they can also prevent potential issues, big expensive issues down the road in the wintertime. So before it gets really super cold and your house is going to, your heater is going to start working overtime, you need Spring Hill Heating and Cooling to come check out your house, make sure it's up and running smoothly. It's why my family uses them, locally owned, over two decades of experience in the Middle Tennessee market. So they understand your house and its needs when it comes to weather and dealing with all the things that wintertime brings. So get your house checked up now. Join the Comfort Club. SpringHillAC.com is the website. Make sure you tell them Braden sent you. And make sure you check out Smashville Live. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, proud sponsor of Smashville Live. Back tonight at 7 o'clock, by the way. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, SpringHillAC.com.
Been the limousine. Now this.
Has anyone noticed the theme?
It's great.
Okay. Hall of Fame, yeah.
Oh, see?
Biggie was...
Derek nailed it.
Yeah, I saw the...
All right, save it. Marquise is getting angry at us. He wants us to save it.
Hands down, my favorite Biggie song of all time.
This one's pretty good.
Juicy.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Juicy. Grab him crazy.
You nasty.
We will...
Is it wrong that that's my favorite song?
Juicy. Got him crazy.
All right, we got the head coach as we welcome in Derek Mason, head coach of Vanderbilt. Derek, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. Heard a little Biggie in the background.
A little juicy. You got to lighten things up a little bit here.
Yeah,
obviously, things difficult for you right now. That performance this past Saturday was very difficult to watch. How do you explain what transpired Saturday in that 34-10 loss?
Well, I mean, it wasn't our best performance. So, with that, you know, when I look at it and I got to chalk it up to, not playing our best ball. Obviously, we're still lacking in some things when it comes to, chemistry, being able to play consistent football and being able to find, sparks and big time play in critical situations. And that's where we, sit today. You know, you look at that ball game and how we started, and it's been like almost every ball game offensively been able to go down and score points. And then, defensively, it generally takes us into the second quarter. And these are the things that we're working on now. That's what we have to do as we move forward towards Missouri. And that's where we sit today.
Now, Coach, based on the play last week in this season, what do you do as a coaching staff to get your team not to give up on the season, so to speak?
Yeah, man, this team's not going to give up on this season. I mean, every week, this is a one-week-at-a-time journey where, you're in the midst of the storm, and what you got to do is make sure, that you walk through it. So, it's about trying to look at, some of the incremental things, that we've been able to do. Okay, how do you turn, the first drive into, the second quarter drive, or third quarter drive, and the fourth quarter drive for points? How do you wind up, turning, second quarter actions or even, third quarter actions into, how you need to play in the first quarter defensively and just, consistently, how do you grind out what you need for special teams? And that's a week, a day-by-day, week-by-week journey. That's not a season. So, our total identity is not invested in, where we've been, but it's got to be in where we need to go.
Coach, how do you – and this sort of goes whether you're winning games, losing games, whatever – noise is a thing when it comes to college athletes, professional athletes. How do you, and coaching staffs? How do you keep noise out of what you guys are trying to do and your message to the team? Do you have to address it? Do you have to just ignore it? Do you guys talk about it? Like, sort of, how do you handle that situation?
Well, it's different for adults and really for my staff. For adults, we didn't grow up with social media. Okay, man, we know what it is, and we understand what it looks like. Man, we grew up with television and radio. So, with that being said, it was easy to turn those things off. For young people, it's different because, their phones are their lives. So, with that being said, the access to the information, is really, at their fingertips and is loud. And so, I mean, you have to start your day with messaging. You have to continue to brand your message as you go through practice. I mean, you got to brand your message when you come, you know, I mean, off the field or at the end of a practice. I mean, I have to continue to send my guys messaging, you know, I mean, throughout the day. You know, I mean, some of it, you know, I mean, is encouragement. You know, I mean, other things are action plans. And then for the most part, man, I got to continue to love on these young men because, you know what, this is the time where, you know, man, I mean, these young men got to know and understand that, you know, that there's purpose to what we do. Okay, man, we play in the game. We got to make sure that we play for one another, and we got to get to the other side. In today's human day and age, what I'm trying to stay away from is the idea that, man, you're only good when you perform. You know, that's not where you need to be. Okay, man, you perform every day. Okay, man, you don't perform for the outside, man. You perform for yourself because that's what's needed and necessary to get you to the other side. You got your own team, which is your family, your friends, your loved ones, and then now, you know, like we're on a bigger team, so let's move it forward.
Coach, you've always said contracts basically be damned. Do you look at this as a one-year, year-to-year type thing? I know right. You were asked yesterday about any coaching changes as far as mid-season, and you said, quote, you don't get into the fog of war and start shooting at the man next to you. Totally understood, valid point. But if this thing continues to go the way it's going, do you envision any changes at the end of the year to your staff?
I'll say the same thing I said yesterday. In the fog of war, I'm not going to turn on the man next to me, man, and start firing. Okay, I mean, that absolutely makes no sense, and that's what failed and doomed companies do. So, you know, like for me, you know, I believe that this is a family. You know, we're in a stormy time right now, and it's my job as the captain to help try to get us to the other side. And then, you know, like once you hit land, well, then you start looking for food. But right now, we're in the midst of this thing, so we just got to make sure that we get to the other side.
Now, Coach, have you seen enough in Deuce Wallace to give him an opportunity to be underneath center? Because, it, you know, from my event, and you see it way different than I do, but Riley Neal just hadn't been the answer for your team thus far.
Right. I mean, I think what I'm, you know, man, looking to do is make sure, man, that those guys, you know, man, continue to get the reps. You know, man, if I had better answers, man, I'd be looking towards it. Right now, I've got the answers that I've got. And so, you know, man, what I'm going to do is make sure, man, that these guys get reps. I thought, you know, man, Riley struggled on Saturday. I mean, I thought, you know, man, Deuce, you know, man, did some solid things, but when you looked up, you know, like there were opportunities, man, for big plays that we needed to hit. Listen, this, the whole dress rehearsal thing, you know, man, is not what we're looking for. I mean, what we're looking to do, man, is try to, you know, man, put a quarterback, a team, an offensive defense out there, like on the field, man, that can give us a chance. And I know right now, you know, we're evaluating everything. These guys are going to get reps. We're going to see, you know, how they perform throughout the week, and we'll make a determination as we get into Saturday.
Coach, we know these things are rough right now, so we do appreciate the time and you coming on and taking the tough questions. Best of luck this week.
All right, thank you.
You got it. Derek Mason, head coach of Vanderbilt, as they will take on Kelly Bryant, Barry Odom, and the Missouri Tigers this week.
Man, that's a brutal matchup. Missouri's offense is playing really well right now. I give him credit, though. I think answering those are tough questions, and I think he answered them fairly well. You know, the answer on do you turn to the guy next to you during the fog of war, which is a really great answer, a really wordy answer. Mm-hmm. But if your team is not responding to a particular coach, you know, like how many times do we see NFL and college teams make changes in the middle of the season? It happens all the time. So it's. You know, if he thinks it could extend his career or make the team better, you have to consider those types of maneuvers. I'm not saying he needs to right now. You know, Nick, you asked about the end of the season there.
Push comes to shove. If Malcolm Turner goes up to him in December and says, hey, you know, I'll bring you back for another year, but you got to whack your entire staff. I mean, Derek Mason's going to have a decision to make. Go down with the ship or make changes.
You're going to have to. You know, I was always, you know, taught that because he said it's a family, and it truly is, because you put in a lot. You spend more time with them than you do your actual family. So they do become your families. Those young men do become sort of like your extended kids, so to speak. But I was always taught that, listen, you can love your family, but you can love them from a distance, too. You can just walk away and kind of do your own thing when things are not going well and then maybe come back to it. But in the coaching situation, you can't come back to it. You can, yeah, we're family. Yes, you don't want to, you know, turn on the man next to you. I get all that, and he was absolutely right. But at the end of the season, like you said, listen, we're going to make some decisions. Yeah, we're family. I love you. But sometimes I got to walk away from family. I still love you. I'm still there when you need me. But I got to walk away because it's just not working.
All right, here's what we got coming up for the rest of the show, an action-packed show, the D-Mace dissection, as 85 will break down the All-22 at the top of the hour, and then Sean Henry's going to stop by at 8:30 as we'll talk some sports with the Predators president, and also Ian Ayer, Nashville SC CEO.
What does D-Mace dissect now that you don't have Marcus to dissect?
Oh, I still dissect Marcus.
Oh, you can do this one? This is the last week you can do that?
Well, I'm dissecting a quarterback, period.
Yeah. Oh, it's so we go Tannehill now.
Yeah, we're going to go.
Tamerhan is under the microscope.
Well, this week, no, it's Marcus because he played the bulk of the game. Next week, it will be Tamerhan.
What's the thing, like the tray, you know, like when you're in seventh grade and you got the frog all laid out?
The scalpel.
The dissection.
Is that your workstation? There's got to be.
That's my workstation. Yeah, that's my
teammates.
That's my laboratory.
Marcus, here's a
not laboratory. Laboratory.
Cracked rib. Let's move that out of the way.
We need to be determined, guys. We need to be determinated, man.
We can beat them in New England. We can beat them here. We can beat them there.
All right, Titans fans, if you want to jump back in, you can. 737-1025. Vanderbilt fans, if you want to chime in after your head coach, 737-1025. We'll get back to the calls. And then also, one man found it necessary to go on Periscope last night after the Ryan Tannehill news came out, and channel his inner juice. We'll explain next on Morning Drive. Back in here on a Wednesday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, Predators with a really good win last night in Vegas as they down the Golden Knights 5-2. We will get back to that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, jam-packed 8 o'clock hour, that will include Sean Henry as well as our D-Mace dissection coming up in just 11 minutes. But last night, obviously, was a really great night, but a late night, because the Preds didn't start till 9 o'clock. The Tannehill news didn't come down until after the Preds had already started. And I'm a little jealous that one man actually beat me to the punch. Mm-hmm. And I actually think this is absolutely hilarious that our very own Jared Stillman channeled his own O.J. Simpson on Twitter last night. Let's actually go live to the video and play the tape. Jared Stillman channeling his inner O.J. Simpson.
Hey, Twitter world. It's yours truly. Who can believe that the Titans benched Marcus Mariota? We'll have a full reaction tomorrow on Jared and the GM, including what Coach Vrabel has to say. I'm a little surprised Vrabel and J-Rob are making this move, because now the pressure's going to be all on them to find a quarterback. Well, I'll see you soon. Take care.
Missed was the I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And then take care, and he had it 100%. I give him an A-.
His inner juice. That's just all what right. he did. All right. And you know he did.
Juice Simpson and Jared Stillman.
All right, hotcakes. Here's the deal. That was brilliant.
Hey, Twitter world.
That was brilliant.
Hey, Twitter world.
It was absolutely brilliant. He did it. Stillman, as you said, Nick, we are all angry at ourselves today because we didn't do it first. Mm-hmm. Or at least Nick didn't do it first.
Yeah.
Or Derek, perhaps. Yeah. I'm gonna act like an old man in a rocking chair with a perfect yard. Your boy from
Mr. Bruno.
Yeah. I am Mr. Bruno on this topic. Anyone under the age of 30, hear my voice right now. This is an alleged double homicide murderer. Okay? He's really good on Twitter. Cool. Really cool, guys. Don't forget the reason he's famous. Not because he's a Heisman Trophy winner, or because he rushed for 2,000 yards, or because he was a great actor in Naked Gun 33 and a third. No. He's famous because he probably killed two people. So let's, everyone under the age of 30, let's remember that as you're smashing the like button. When you're smashing the like button on OJ's Twitter account, and I hope he doesn't hear this. Please don't record this, Marquise.
It's recorded, buddy.
When you smash that like button and subscribe for OJ's Twitter, and you're under the age of 30 and you don't have any idea that this person allegedly murdered two human beings and then committed multiple other crimes, please understand history.
They know it. They just don't care.
It pisses me off.
Hey, Twitter world.
Now, Stillman,
they know it.
Phenomenal.
They know
phenomenal
it.
Job, Stillman.
They just don't care.
Capitalizing off a double homicide murder.
You gotta,
cool.
You gotta love it. You know, hate to the world. This is Jared Stillman.
Also, I mean, how many people does OJ have on his fantasy team? That's the other question. Every time a player, he probably got Jalen Ramsey on his fantasy team, right? We're going to get a video today. Are we not going to get a video today from OJ?
I had Jalen Ramsey.
Hey, Twitter world. I had Jalen Ramsey on my fantasy team.
And speaking of that, let's actually wrap up.
How many guys did you have on your fantasy team?
Everybody that he had is all out now.
He drafted Andrew Luck. He drafted Antonio Brown. How did he draft
all the
guys?
Marsha Clark couldn't put him away, but the fantasy gods did.
I don't think he drafted any of them. I think he made it all up for social media because he's good.
He's brilliant.
Because he's brilliant at social media. Yeah, because he's brilliant at social media doesn't mean he didn't kill two people.
All right. Speaking of brilliance, I think the Jalen Ramsey thing played out brilliantly for all parties involved. Think about this. The Jaguars get a total steal. They're going to get a first-round pick in 2020 and 2021. The Rams are clearly desperate. They're all in for San Francisco and Seattle are completely legit. The Rams are going for it. And Jalen Ramsey got what he wanted, and he didn't lose a dollar.
No, he's in Hollywood now, and they're gonna back up the Brinks truck for him next year. If not, then it was a waste of trying to get him. So they're gonna have to re-sign him this offseason. And he's gonna back up the Brinks truck, and they're just gonna start throwing bags inside of it. Until he says stop.
You think he'd say stop?
Ever? Nah, I don't think he would.
I think
he
just keep letting the bags fly in there.
I think he, it was a win-win for both sides, I believe. And I know some people are looking at it. Oh, they gave up too much. No, they didn't. You know, this is a guy that is considered the best corner in the league. He's a shutdown guy. He's an all-pro guy. He's a Pro Bowl guy. Not too many of those guys you're going to find.
And how many plays were the Rams away from being a Super Bowl champion last year?
Absolutely.
I mean, I know that the offense was the problem in the Super Bowl, but what if Jalen Ramsey was on the defense?
Exactly. I think it would have been totally different.
Maybe it's even closer of a game.
I just think if you want a guy like him, you have to give up. You know, you got to give up the farm, so to speak. He's one of those guys that you don't see, you know, around the league too many times. He's arguably. I mean, I don't think anyone would question his ability to shut someone down. He is the best corner in the National Football League right now. And if you got to give up two first-round draft picks to get him, then so be it, because I believe he's going to give you everything and more. If you truly believe he is that missing guy on the defense that can kind of put you over the edge and put you back in the Super Bowl, then do it. Why not?
Think about their defense now. They have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're talking about best players in football, not at a quarterback position, you don't go down too far down the list without mentioning Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey.
They have the best defensive lineman in the game, and they have the best corner in the game.
I don't think that's too far-fetched.
I mean, I
probably agree with that.
You need those type of players, and now the Rams have both of them.
Those are rare commodities
in
the NFL. A dominant nose guard, and that's why Jeffrey Simmons, who, by the way, Mississippi State's tweeting about yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that.
No, I didn't.
Mississippi State's like all over, like, Jeffrey Simmons is back. He's coming back, boys. Be ready.
Well, that's the only thing they got to tweet about.
I mean, if I'm Joe Moorhead, I've got a 42-foot picture of Jeffrey Simmons in my office just saying, hey, kids, come to Mississippi State and be like this guy, at least on the field. I think The Rams, they're also, what, three games back of the Niners after losing to them head-to-head? So they also felt the need to make a move in a pretty tough situation as well. So,
well, their opportunities now. Right, I mean, their window is very small.
Yeah, totally agree. Could they use a left guard, though? Like, could you trade him Roger Saffold, maybe? He seemed to be better in Los Angeles.
Can you give Roger Saffold back to them and get something in return?
Yeah, I don't.
Would you trade Saffold back to the Rams for like a fifth rounder right now?
No.
Nah, because I need somebody.
Yeah, you need a player.
Yeah, throw Dennis Kelly in there. Give me the fifth and get Saffold the hell out of here.
Give me a fourth. You can have Saffold back.
Who do you think's in
it? Damaged goods.
That's the line, the fourth.
Yeah, you sold me damaged goods, okay?
You give me a third, I'm good.
Who do you think will be the captain this week for the Titans?
who cares?
You think it'll be a big Raj?
Do you actually? Do you? I know you led with that on Monday, kind of jokingly.
Why do you call him Big Raj?
Because it's funny.
Because saying Saffold just isn't worth the time right now.
And it's Roger Saffold the third. Okay.
Saffold, is it the third?
It's the third.
Saffold sounds like a really good blocker. Big Raj don't.
So the two other Saffolds ahead of him probably just feel pretty embarrassed right
big
now.
Big Raj sounds like the guy who's six seats down from me at my local brewery when I go in to have a beer, and I'm like, "Hey, Big Raj, how's the day on the farm, man?
Hey, put this on my tab. Big Raj had a rough one today."
This is mean. We're being mean.
All right. D-Mace has got the lab coat on. The goggles will be slipped on. The scalpel is ready. It is time for another D-Mace dissection as 85 breaks down the All-22 next on Morning Drive.
I'll see you soon. Take care.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.